Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to go?
All set.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and thanks so much for joining us here. We will be here, I know it's 11 o'clock this week. We'll be here at 11 a.m. this week. This is what we like to refer to, Beeb, as giving back to the UK, right? This is what we like to refer to as giving back to our UK brothers, and I know they're watching the show. Instead of having them at midnight, they can watch us earlier. So, Beeb, a big thank you to the UK, and I know you have your flat out there. I know you have your flat out there. They love us out there.
Yeah.
And this is UK Appreciation Month.
Or Cincinnati Bengals Appreciation Month.
Oh, come on. Stop it. Do you think I would put an entire country before the Bengals? You know, the Bengals before UK? No way. No way. Now, it is true. It is true that the Bengals are playing at 3 today. But that has nothing to do with the time change. Nothing. I can assure you. I mean, I would never do that. That you have my word on. All right, you guys, if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. All right, guys, let's get started with it, man. DAZN, Chris Eubank Jr. versus Liam Smith. And, yeah, I'll be the first one to say I didn't see that coming. The first three rounds here were fairly even, man. I thought they were actually kind of boring, to be honest with you. Neither fighter seemed like they were doing a whole lot, you know. But you know what I did notice, Steve? I don't know if you noticed it or not, or maybe it was just my imagination. It looked to me like Chris Eubank was getting tired in there already. I mean, right after like the second or third round, he looked tired to me. He didn't look, and, you know, I noticed it when he was, even when he was fighting, it was almost like he was lacking the energy that I'm used to seeing him with. He was just almost passive in there, which I'm not used to seeing. But I tell you what, even that being said, I didn't see the fourth round. I mean, I didn't see this coming, man. Liam Smith cornered Eubank Jr. and caught him with a flurry, and that uppercut in that flurry is what did the damage, and he got hit flush. I mean, he got hit flush with a couple of shots in that flurry, man. He was out before he hit the floor, man. Eubank got up, and I'll be honest, man, that fight could have been stopped right there. The ref let it go on. Smith pounced on him, dropped him again, and then the ref stopped the fight. I didn't think he would beat Eubank Jr., but I tell you what, I was absolutely wrong on this. The two fighters were going at it earlier. This was like a real – turned into like a real grudge match here. The two fighters were going at it at the press conference. Smith accused Eubank of being gay, and then Eubank accused Smith of cheating on his wife. I'm like, wow, man, these guys really went deep, man. That's crazy. And then at the presser, I think you're at the weigh-in. I think Eubank had like a rainbow. He had like the LGBTQ or whatever armband on or whatever. But yeah, man, just some real like kind of lowball stuff over there, man. Corey Lee Boxing, thank you so much. He said, awesome show. Eubank Jr.'s partying, caught up with him. Yeah, I tell you what, Easy Boy 88 Sonny says, how's the crow taste, Beeb? But Beeb, I know for a fact, because I got the betting slip to prove it, Beeb actually took Liam Smith in this one.
Oh, no.
He took Liam Smith, you know.
I love your loyalty, but you don't have to cover for me. I thought Eubank Jr. was going to blitz him.
You screwed up, Beeb.
I'm not going to lie.
I want you to say it.
Well, we have investors. We can't put our phone on. I have to tell the truth, man. I mean, I did a video a couple of days ago saying how, you know, entities have to be responsible when they put out information, especially if
right.
information is tied to the finances.
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm bound by contract law. I can't do that.
Let me just say this real quick. D-Style put out a post. I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but it was really good. He said that Canelo's wins are aging like fine wine. And he's right. I mean, William Smith, they thought he was finished. I thought he was finished after that Canelo fight because he didn't put up any resistance against him. And then you watch him against Eubank Jr., you know. How did you – let me ask you a question, man. How did you have the fight scored in those first – going into that fourth round? I had Smith up 2-1. I thought Smith was doing the more
– yeah.
More of – you know, they didn't seem to me to really be, you know.
I'm gonna be honest. I had Eubank up 3-0. A lot of people did.
A lot of people – and I saw it the other way, too.
Boxing Scene had a 3-0. Freestyle had Smith winning the first round, and the second two went to Eubank Jr.
Yeah.
I thought, especially in that third round, Eubank was starting to get his rhythm. He was landing some uppercuts. And I agree, in the beginning of the fight, I do think Eubank kind of was a little bit less aggressive, more calculated, tried to measure him from the outside, whereas often he'll come in the mid-range and try to load up that left hook or those uppercuts, which he started doing in round three. But one thing was evident to me, and I kind of picked up on this and noticed, when Liam Smith got close, he was able to muscle Eubank into the ropes. He looked physically – well, not looked, but he appeared to be physically stronger than Eubank when they got in the clinches, and he was able to push him back and manhandle him a little bit. And Eubank looked a little bit uncomfortable in those clinches like that.
I tell you, in my opinion. That's a great point, too, man, because – like I said, I expected – Chris Eubank is a physically strong dude. You can tell he's a strong guy, man.
Yeah.
Liam Smith was muscling him last night, man. Liam Smith looks like the bigger guy in there. He looked like the stronger guy. He just looked passive. I don't – that's the best way I can really describe it, man.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can really describe it, man.
And then, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and we could look back and do the woulda, coulda, shouldas. That doesn't mean the woulda, coulda, shouldas are going to change what the what is. But, again, it's just analysis. And it was mentioned about how excessively tight, like in terms of his physique, he looked like there was probably very little body fat on him. So you have to ask yourself, at this age, is 160 the best weight for him? Because he looked so dry and lean, didn't look like he worked up a sweat at all. And then he also went through that camp where he had to get down to 157, although the fight didn't happen. He still had to put that work in and deplete himself to try to get to that weight. And in the 13th hour, that fight was canceled, but he still went through pretty much a full camp for that fight. So you have to question if that had any effect. But we don't want to take anything away from Liam Smith because this was the performance of his life. The woulda, coulda, shouldas don't matter, but, you know, they're worth mentioning, but they have no significance on how this fight played out. And it's bizarre, and I'm going to make a comparison because we have two guys in the title, right? We have Chris Eubank Jr. and we have Tank Davis. And both guys, resume-wise and potential-wise, have been criticized heavily, not only by people like us, but fans all across the world. And when you look at it, boxing is kind of like the stock market, right? You have what's called low-risk investments, and you got high-risk investments. Now, you could buy a money market, you could buy bonds, and you could take that steady, consistent flow of revenue. Or you can invest in that big stock, right, and have that risk that maybe you can lose a lot, but you could also gain a lot. Liam Smith is that big star because he's leveled up his whole career. He's fought tough guys and tough guys and tough guys, knowing that there was a chance that he could lose those fights. And obviously he went into them with full confidence, I would assume. But when you look at guys like Tank and you look like guys like Eubank Jr., these guys have financially had very successful careers. When you look at the level of opposition they fought, with all due respect, right, they've made good money. You know, people can say whatever they want about Tank, 200,000 pay-per-view buys, that's trash. But again, he's still making $4 million a fight, roughly, when it's all said and done. And they're still turning a profit with those 200,000 pay-per-view buys. Same thing with Eubank Jr. He got almost $3 million for that fight yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So on paper, that was
– man. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
You know,
and when he was in that tournament with the super middleweight tournament, this guy's made some good money in his career. He's got a lot of popularity outside the ring. He's been on reality TV, whatever. So in terms of marketability, both of these guys, Tank and Yubei Jr., have had very successful careers,
yeah,
monetarily and popularity-wise.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, you know, when you do have those low-risk investments, you get that money, but you're never ever going to get that notoriety, the guy who takes the high-risk stocks. Because now the guy who's investing in the high-risk stocks, he's not going to look back and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know? But the guy who's in those low risk investments, he's going to say, well, you know, what if I did buy that Amazon 30 years ago? Where would I be today? Right? So that's the pros and cons that you have when you map out these careers and, you know, you take those low level fights. And another downside to that is you're fighting a level of opposition and you never are able to sharpen your tools that way. You don't get better as a fighter. So Liam Smith has constantly been in there with the iron. So he had no choice to either get better, sink or swim for him. But Eubank Jr. has been able, with all due respect, to have that level, and he's been incentivized to take that level of opposition, and there's been no sense of urgency to really up it, right?
Yeah.
So this is where you know, this is a tale of two fighters, basically. One guy invested in those high risk stocks, and another guy was in the low risk investments, the money markets and the bonds. And, you know, at the end of the day, Liam Smith hit the lottery yesterday.
He really did. But I tell you what, somebody, Centurion said it was a lucky punch. That wasn't a lucky punch. I mean, I thought he was winning. Like I said, I thought he was winning the fight. A lot of people thought the other way, but you know, listen, man, he threw that combination. Those punches hit him flush. There was nothing lucky about what he did. That's all training and skill and everything like that. Where does Chris Eubank Jr. go from here? You know, this was a big loss. And I tell you what, you know, what I saw last night, you know, I'm not a big fan of, I love Roy Jones, but I'm not a big fan of him as a trainer. I think that he's too good to be a trainer. And now let me explain that. He's like Michael Jordan out there. He was like Michael Jordan when he was boxing. In his prime, nobody can mess with that guy. I don't know of anybody that could have beat that guy in his prime. You know what I mean? I think he would have beat Canelo. He would have beat anybody in his prime, at his prime weight. He would have beat anybody, you know? Now, when you take all that skill, and Roy Jones a lot of times did things unorthodox. You know, he didn't do things by the book. He wasn't a Ricardo Lopez, who was just like a textbook boxer. And when you try to teach somebody, you have to have a Ricardo Lopez, that textbook. You have to teach them the very basics first. Now, I get Chris Eubank knows the basics. I understand all that. But I just think that Roy Jones is – I don't think that he's an effective trainer because of his skill level in the game. And he expects others to be at that same skill level. And they're not. They're not even close. There's only one Roy Jones, you know.
Well, give me your opinion on this, because I had a conversation with D-Style yesterday, and what he mentioned was he thought Roy Jones was giving him too much instruction in that corner. And when you give a fighter too much information, he's not going to be able to process that all. And it's just too much information. Sometimes less is more. And I don't know. I kind of looked at it. I obviously you can't hear what's being said in the corner a lot of times, because I think in a lot of these UK fights, particularly with the DAZN production, they don't put a mic in the corner, which kind of sucks. But yeah, he was doing a lot of talking in that corner, and you have to question how much of that was Chris Eubank Jr. able to absorb and utilize in the fight.
Joe Goosen, short instructions. You know, and the GOAT, Teddy Atlas, the greatest trainer of our I think in boxing, period. I think he was better than Dundee. He's better than anybody. All right, he's the GOAT in my book, okay? But Teddy Atlas, again, he may give you some motivation in there, but he will give you instruction after the motivation. And the instructions, 2 to 3 things. That's it. 1 to 3 things. That's all you can do. You can't you know, have diarrhea in there, diarrhea of the mouth, and just spawn off all these instructions. It's got to be one or two, because and when they're out there fighting, they can't hear you. You know, they're not listening. They can't hear it. It's blocked. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. So that corner, when he comes back, is that's the time to give him instructions. You can't give him a diatribe of instructions. You have to give him one or two, between one and three instructions. That's it. Because that's all he's going to take out there.
Yeah. Got to be a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. You asked a great question. Where does Eubank Jr. go from here? Well, this is going to sound ridiculous. And I know I say a lot of crazy things. And I'm going to say another crazy thing that people can say, Beeb, what the hell are you talking about right now? But in losing, some of these fights that were out there for Eubank Jr. actually become more marketable because now they're more competitive on paper, right? So this Conor Benn fight becomes even bigger now. This rematch with Liam Smith becomes even bigger now, right? And so from a monetary standpoint, this could be good for Chris Eubank Jr., but here's the thing. This is a guy who had a certain swag about him. His whole persona was based off of pride, a little bit of, I'm going to say it, arrogance, you know, in a tasteful way, but arrogance, confidence, whatever.
And arrogance, for sure.
Even in his losses, he could say, well, I've never been hurt. I've never been stumbled. I've never been down. And even when I lost, these fights were still competitive. So now he's lost that. I think his image has been shattered in a million pieces right now. And I don't think anything could put him back together. Now, I've always liked him as a personality, as a character. He's an entertaining fighter. He's very, very entertaining in and out of the ring. But now, in the way he lost, I think his image has been destroyed somewhat. His persona has been destroyed. Now people can turn around and say, hey, you know what? You really did underachieve here. You really never did live up to a tenth of what we thought you could be. You're not your dad, right? And obviously it's not fair to compare him to his dad, but it's the nature of the beast. We're going to do that, right? We're going to do that. So, I just think that moving forward, I think he's done as a fighter. I think retirement is an option. I think retirement is a big option here because I think when he got up and I saw his legs like that, that was neurological, man. And it reminds me like of Roy Jones when he got knocked out, and you could see his legs were gone in those fights.
That Glenn Johnson fight
back.
Especially. Yeah, that Glenn Johnson fight especially, because you can look at the Tarver fight and say he just got caught. But that Glenn Johnson fight, he was beat up for nine full rounds. That was a one-sided drubbing.
Yeah. It's one thing getting knocked out, like Pacquiao got knocked out against Marquez, and just being short-circuited.
Yeah.
But when you get up and your legs are like that. I think that's neurological, and maybe the years of staying at 160 for so long, and 33, maybe that drained him. Maybe that weakened him. Maybe that took some miles off his career. That's again a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
But I think he's done. I think he's done as a fighter. He's not supposed to lose. With all due respect, Liam Smith's a solid fighter. He's not supposed to lose to Liam Smith.
Liam Smith is a solid fighter. But Liam Smith is not the same fighter he was a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's not the best version of Liam Smith, for sure.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to lose to Liam Smith, with all due respect, taking nothing away from Liam Smith.
Yeah.
And if you lose to Liam Smith in that fashion, I think he's done as a fighter. But here's the thing. Here's the catch-22. There's still a rematch, right? There's still a Conor Benn fight. Those two fights
are big. They've just become big now. You know, and Conor, I think I read somewhere that Conor said he'll fight him at 160, and I'm like, Conor Benn is now looking just for a payday, I believe. I believe he's just looking for a payday, you know. So yeah. I think that's a winnable fight for Eubank, and I think the other one is
– I don't think he can compete at the top level. I think
I think there's definitely a ceiling now. for sure.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. But once again, the money is calling.
Absolutely. He'll get some more fights, for sure.
Yeah, he'll. And then here's another thing. They asked him about the rematch, and once again, this just shows how the confidence has been destroyed. A lot of times, when a guy really wants the rematch, what does he say? Yeah, I want to fight him
tomorrow.
Let's
do it again.
I want him next. Now both him and Roy Jones were saying, well, maybe we'll get the rematch, whether it's the next fight or whatever. Down the road, we'll get that rematch.
Yeah.
So now they're talking about having a rebuilding fight just to get the rematch, and it's like, yeah, man, I mean.
That ain't good. That's not the way to talk, man, I'll tell you that.
That's not the way to talk if you think you can win. So at the end of the day, I'm going to take a quote from the great ringside reporter, the great ringside Robert, right? I'm going to take a quote from the great ringside Robert, Chris Eubank Jr., needs to find something else to do.
Oh, that's harsh. That's very harsh, Pete. What's the matter with you?
And this is coming from a guy with a local 22 jacket just trying to make a living.
Just trying to make a living. Orange and black, baby. Dwayne asks, he says, just like Chavez Jr., people only care about Eubank Jr. because of his dad. I was never really impressed by the guy. I think that's a fair point. Let's analyze it this way. So if it was, Chris Eubank wasn't Chris Eubank's son. Say it was and Chavez Jr. wasn't. The way they fought their careers, there's no way. I mean, give me a break, man. There's no way anybody would have cared about him. But they have that leg up. The thing is, man, I was talking to my dad about this the other day. Those guys, the sons of those boxers, those boxers' sons, like in basketball and stuff like that, you look like LeBron James or Michael Jordan's son, they were never as good because they didn't come up the same. You know what I mean? They're already set. They have their choice to do whatever they want to do. They want to go out and be an engineer, this and that, they can. Their fathers really didn't have that choice. They were either going to play basketball or you're going to be poor. That was it. Or you're going to box or you're not going to have any money. That's it. And that hunger, that drive or whatever isn't present in the sons. You may have that winning, you may have the work ethic, you may have the desire to win, but you don't have that grit. And that's the difference. And that grit, you're born with, that grit is, you have as you grow up, as you get older, your surroundings galvanize that grit, and I don't think either one of those two had it. So, yeah. So
the guy that starts from nothing and becomes a millionaire, as opposed to a guy who inherits a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a different mentality, a different mindset, different hunger. Right.
That's it.
So
that's it, man.
It is what it is. It's the reality of the situation.
On the undercard here, we had Joseph Parker versus Jack Massey. Parker wins the unanimous decision 96-93 twice and 97-92. And Richard Ryakpor, I think it's Ryakpor.
Ryakpor
versus Christoph Glowacki. I he knocked out Glowacki in the fourth round. I was shocked Glowacki's still fighting. I really am.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I thought he was gone a while ago, In Miami, Florida last night, Bermain Stiverne fought Jonathan Guidry. He's still around. How about he's still around?
Right.
After that second Wilder fight, how anybody let him fight again? And it's not that he was knocked out viciously. I don't really care about that because that happens. But the way he showed up in that fight, the way he carried himself in that fight, like he didn't want to be there. You could tell he didn't want to be there. So why he's still fighting, why anybody's sanctioning this guy, I don't know. But, he lost last night. I believe he lost the decision to Guidry. Guidry, I believe, is 18-1 now, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think he's about 18-1. So kind of an up-and-coming heavyweight, I guess. All right, let's talk about some of the upcoming fights here. Let's go to the schedule, see what we got. Next week, the big one, January 28th on ESPN+, Beeb. Arthur Beterbiev versus Anthony Yard, 12 rounds for Beterbiev's WBC, WBO, and IBF light heavyweight titles. On the undercard here, Artem Dalakian versus David Jimenez, 12 rounds for Dalakian's WBA flyweight title. And it's not a great card. I got to be honest with you. I'm looking at some of these. It's not a good card at all. I mean, that's the co-main. That's not very good either. So you know, tune in. You'll be tuning in to watch the main event here. And also, too, on January 28th from Inglewood, California, this will be on DAZN, Alex Rocha versus Anthony Young, 12 rounds, welterweights, Floyd Schofield versus Alberto Mercado. This has got to be a Golden Boy card. That's got to be a Golden Boy card because that's just –
Golden Boy card.
Yeah, that's just
– It's funny when you say that because every time you say it, it's like it is a Golden Boy
card. Right, yeah. You know, it's just – you know it's a drizzling you-know-what. You know it's a Golden Boy card.
Undercards keep getting worse and worse, man.
They
need to do something
really bad, man. You know, and Bob Arum, Don King. Where's Don King at, man? I know he was probably at the Stavern fight last night.
He's promoting Bermain Stavern. He ran out of fighters.
Oh, my
There's
God.
No more Julio Cesar Chavez, Felix Trinidad's anymore. This is where we're at.
Oh, God. Like him or not, man, he put on the best cards. He did. He put on the best cards. I know he stole a bunch of fighters' money and everything like that. And I know he was an airhead, and I understand thief and everything like that. But, man, he could put on a card. I mean, those cards that he put on, like, the 80s and 90s and stuff, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Beeb, Arthur Beterbiev is, what, 38 years old?
Yeah, he's getting up there, bro.
And looks like the cream of the division right now, him and Bivol. Anthony Yard was knocked out by Sergey Kovalev.
What a jab.
Jesus.
What a jab.
He seems to be tailor-made. He seems to be tailor-made for Beterbiev. However, when you're 38 years old, I don't care what kind of shape you're in. I don't care how young your body feels or is. You're 38. Getting in there with a guy, you know, who's young and strong, and anytime you step through those ropes, after the age of 35, anytime you step through those ropes, you could actually look 38 when you get in there. Yes.
I'm going to set myself up for a big ball right now,
Jesus.
which I love to do because I'm going to change my name to Drama. King Drama is my new name, all right? I'm going to make a statement right now,
yes.
And this is I mean this with all sincerity. I am actually genuinely afraid for Anthony Yard next week. He's going to be one of the most one-sided, devastating losses that we've seen in the last 10 years. This is going to be a destruction next week. I don't think this fight is going to be remotely competitive, and I think Anthony Yard is going to get hurt next week. And I'm actually worried for him. Not a religious man. Not at all. I'm agnostic. But that Friday night before the fight, I will be lighting a candle for Anthony Yard.
Say some novenas, huh?
I'm going to do it.
I think that Beterbiev wins. Okay? I think Yard puts on a better show than we think he's going to, though.
I hope you're right.
I think he will. I'm not, you know, I don't think the fight is dangerous for Anthony Yard. Physically dangerous, put it that way. I mean, Beterbiev,
I'm not legitimately worried.
Anthony Yard has got enough skill set to counteract a lot of that, you know what I mean? But I do not see him winning the fight, that's for sure. I do not see him winning the fight. Dwayne asks, would you guys trade, speaking of Ohio, he's talking about Ohio, would you guys trade Al Haymon for Don King?
Immediately in a second, yes.
We don't have to. Let me tell you, this is why I call it Title Town. This is why I call it Title Town here. Al Haymon, Ohio, Don King from Ohio. They're both from Title Town, Daddy. Both of them. How about that? We don't have to trade one for another. We got them. We got them both, baby. That's how it is. That's how we're rolling, Beeb. That's how we're doing it here.
Well, we'll give you that. How's that?
I can have that. I can have Don.
We'll give you the W. How's that?
Oh, man. Just give me the Lombardi trophy. We'll be happy, all right? Just give me that. We'll be happy.
Your chat's killing you right now. They're saying Ohio
crooks like Eric. Both crooks. Crazy. Bronner's from Ohio, too. That's right. Bronner's from Ohio. I saw somebody, Larry, I believe, in the chat, said that that fight is canceled. I'll explain that to you later on. I haven't gotten confirmation that it is canceled, though. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. First, we're going to go to the phone. Robert, 530, you're live.
Hello, guys.
You know, Eric, before we get started.
Hang on,
oh,
Robert.
My
before
God,
we get
Joe,
started.
Here we go again.
Before we get started, right?
He just woke up.
I called Mrs. Herrick last night and told her about the time change because she likes to make Robbie those pancakes with the chocolate chips in the morning.
Those are very good.
I just told her push those off at least 30 minutes this week, right? And Robbie's sitting there crying about it.
I'm usually eating breakfast at this time.
I'm eating breakfast in the morning. I don't even know if I'm gonna be awake. Mrs. Herrick, just skip the pancakes, push them back a half hour.
Give me a break. Are you trying to go on tour with Bill Cosby, Joe?
Oh, wow. That was cold-blooded.
What a disgraceful remark that was. Comparing me to Bill Cosby.
Get out of here with that.
Me too, son. You just me too'd him, boy. That's messed up, man.
Anyway, let's get on to the real business of boxing here. Number one, Eric, I totally agree with you. I was shocked at what I saw yesterday. I never dreamed that Liam Smith would be able to do that to Chris Eubank.
No.
That was something else. As far as Eubank is concerned, Joe, as usual, you hit everything on the head that needed to be hit. I mean, if he didn't have the name Eubank and he wasn't associated with his dad, he'd be treated like just an average fighter. He's gotten a lot of privileges over the years, and he basically came back to bite him yesterday. And yeah, he's gonna have the rematch. But we don't know anything about the Conor Benn situation because isn't Benn going to face some kind of suspension? I mean, realistically, if Benn fights, how long is it going to be before he's allowed to fight? I'm sure there's going to be some kind of suspension, don't you think?
WBC said he's not suspended, and supposedly they've got some evidence to clear him.
Hmm.
So...
okay.
Yeah, what a tangled web we weave, Ren. I mean, it's funny how boxing just can operate the way it does, and there's no, with impunity, the people can just do whatever they want to do on this.
I mean, before all this happened, I thought Conor Benn had a bright future. He looked like an up and coming welterweight. He looked like he was going to possibly go somewhere. And then all of a sudden all this stuff happens. And now, in order for him to fight Eubank, everybody said he's going to have to fight at 160. When I was wondering if he would even be ready for, 154, let alone 160, I don't know. This is going to be, if they do have the fight, it's going to be a pure money grab, but...
sure.
I think Conor Benn would be outclassed trying to fight those bigger guys. Sure he's going to take the fight for the money, but, depending on how he comes out of it, he's going to have to look realistically more at his career and go to a division where he's more comfortable. I don't know if 160 is such a good idea for him.
Well, Robert, let me tell you this. A lot of boxers, after seeing what happened to Chris Eubank Jr. last night, they'd fight him at 168 if they had to because this guy is done.
Well, he's done.
His career's over, man.
That's another thing. I think Eubank fought it at 168. I mean, he fought at 160 more than he's fought at 168, but obviously he needs to be at a bigger weight if he's going to continue fighting anyway. Because he did not look comfortable at the weight yesterday. So, I don't know. He really didn't.
I thought he looked sluggish at the weight. I thought it looked to me anyway, again, it was just my eyes, right after the second round, he looked tired to me. And I don't know if it was just the way he was fighting or what. Like, he almost looked like he wasn't there that night.
Let me ask Robbie this question that I put out earlier in the show.
Okay.
Even though that fight with Conor Benn did not happen, he still went through that camp training to make that one. What was it? 156 or 157?
It was supposed to be 157. So I do think that had an effect on him, Beeb. And I think
I think it drained him
quite significantly, and he can say, oh no, it was no big deal, but yes, it was a big deal, because you fought your entire career at either 160 or 168, and then you agree just for money to go down to a weight that you've never fought at before. Granted, the fight did not happen.
Come on, Robbie. Let's not go there with the money. Look at some of the things that you ran by me that you wanted to do for money, and asking me, Beep, should I do
right.
them? I said, no, Robert, this is a little bit over the top. So don't hold people to a standard.
Right.
You
I remember when you wanted to start
some
that
of the crazy,
thing, so no.
Some of the crazy you. Things you put on the table, Robert, and you even asked me to help finance, I could not put my name on them.
Yeah.
So let's not just criticize people for doing things for
Eric,
money.
Eric, he's
because,
screaming again.
You know, you have no more. Your morals can be questioned when it comes to money, too, Robin. Please.
Eric,
let me just break in here real quick. Hang on. Look, he's dreaming again.
Yeah.
D-Style, thank you so much, brother. He says, let's go. And he's got a spell. I think he's got a spell check problem. He meant to say, let's go Bengals. So there you go. Let's go Bengals. I appreciate that, D-Style. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah,
Robert,
that's going to be a good game this afternoon. That's going to be a good game this afternoon, so.
Who do you got in that game, Robert?
I like both teams, but in my football contest that I'm in, I took the Buffalo Bills. But I expect it to be just like the Buffalo Kansas City game in the playoffs last year. I think it's going to go to overtime, man.
We already beat them once.
I know.
We beat them once a season.
No.
Regular season doesn't count.
The game wasn't allowed to be continued, and that was stupid.
What was the score of the game? What was the score?
It was 7-3 when it happened. 7-3.
Right. Who was leading? Who was leading? I don't know. I don't remember.
Cincinnati. But my point is, Eric.
That's right. We were. I forgot
Eric,
about
that.
That
game should have been allowed to continue.
7-3.
That game should have been allowed to continue.
7-3 and the game ends. Typically, I don't know how you guys do it over in California, but here in Titletown, we take the higher score wins in football, okay?
Of course.
So if we got seven,
oh, come on,
the other guys got three, that means we win, right? Win. Boom. That's it. That's how it goes.
And you're going to take the NFL.
The guy had a heart attack. His heart stopped on
the field. Yeah.
On the field.
I know.
You are cold-blooded, man.
This guy
is on the field.
The lack of empathy this guy shows week after week for his fellow man is the guy. I mean,
give me a break.
He's worse than Skip Bayless. He's worse than Skip Bayless.
Give me a break.
I can't stand Skip Bayless, by the way, Joe. Well, guess what? You and him have a lot in common. You know that? Because you have no empathy for people.
No,
zero.
The dude was lifeless. I mean, he was literally, they started to say, his heart stopped. He was dead. He was clinically dead over there.
Eric, I know. I watched the whole thing.
Well, apparently you didn't watch it close enough because you wanted the game to continue. Like, what? What?
I'm saying they should have continued it later, Eric, not that night. Are you nuts?
What did you just say? You just said, how are they going to continue it later? How are they going to continue it later? You know what I'm saying? They did the right thing. They did. Listen, nobody likes the way it was shuffled out, but listen, I like the fact they didn't play that game. I like the fact that, you know, it shook out the way it shook out because, you know, a guy's life is way more important than the game. I don't care whose team you're on or whatever. A guy's life is way more important than the game.
I agree. I think the Bengals organization got screwed over. I think the big one.
You already said what you said. Don't try to walk it back now.
Cincinnati would have won that game, Eric, they would have had home field advantage today instead of Buffalo.
Still cares about the game. Well, still just talks about the game instead of the life.
They did.
Oh,
they
God.
Did win the game because, again, it was 7-3, and, again, the higher score wins. D-Style, thank you so much. He said, Robbie is like the ref in the Eubank-Smith fight. Just letting it go on, man.
You know what Robbie would have done? Robbie would have picked up Eubank and said, threw him back out there. That's what Robbie would have done. Guy has no heart.
What did you think of that stoppage? What did you think of that stoppage, Robert? I thought he could have been stopped. I thought that fight should have been stopped. Honestly, me, I thought the fight should have been stopped when he got up. And he couldn't. You see he was all over the place.
Yeah, I agree with you. Victor Lockwood, he's a good referee, and I was shocked that he allowed that fight to continue because when Eubank got up and you looked at his face, you could tell that he was hurt. I mean, didn't it come out later that he has a broken orbital bone?
That I don't know. That I did not hear. But
he looked.
Yeah, his
beat
eye.
Up.
I know he was. Yeah, he was pretty beat up, man. So.
So. No, I would have stopped it. I would have stopped it, right away.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Robert, we're going to get one in here. Go ahead.
All right, see you later.
Go ahead. Well, all right, man.
Don't let him say anything else.
He said enough.
Despicable character of that man.
If Eric Keel over on a live stream, Robbie would demand Eric carry on and discuss what Eubank Jr. does from here.
Robbie, we're going to cancel the show today. Eric had a serious injury.
You
can't do the show from the hospital bed? Fucking guy, man. What's wrong with him? What is wrong with him?
Robert's hardcore, man. Robert's old school, boy. I tell you what, man.
Jesus Christ.
He's old school, man. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. Ryan Garcia, Beam, I'm happy to hear this. Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis agree to fight. I know you're skeptical, but I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Oscar De La Hoya took to social media to announce they signed the contract April 15th. Quote, the devil's in the details. De La Hoya wrote on Instagram, April 15th, let's go. Beam, is the fight going to happen?
Zero chance. I've contacted some jails in the Baltimore area. They don't even want to sanction it.
They don't. Even
they don't even want to. They're not going to let it happen.
No penitentiary, huh? No penitentiary.
No penitentiary.
Fight.
Nothing.
Oh man.
No one disputed in the jail. It's not happening.
Do you? I mean, he's going to see some time out of this. But do you think he's big enough? He's big enough. He's a big star. He really is. In Baltimore, they know him. He's got to be a household name of Baltimore, just like Bronner. Everybody knows Bronner in Cincinnati. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to be the same way in Maryland, no?
Let me float something out there.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of people are looking back at that Mayweather situation and how he was able to get a fight in before he actually served his time. And Nevada said, well, he means a lot financially to the city. So we're going to go ahead and let him fight. But here's the thing, man. That was a while ago. Now with the Me Too movement and all this stuff going on, honestly.
It doesn't matter to you assaulted a chick,
No, we're in a different time now where I think that it's not going to be accepted that if he gets sentenced and he's still allowed to fight. Like, it's not going to fly this time, in other words. So if he gets sentenced, I don't think they're gonna give him any leeway. They may say we want him to report to jail immediately. Why should we let this guy make money after doing what he did? This guy's had a history of paying off settlements after assaulting people. Why are we gonna keep allowing this guy to make money and not be an upstanding citizen in society? Why are we gonna reward this guy for his inappropriate behavior? I think they're gonna throw the book at him. I think he may do 6 months6 months in jail.
Wow.
At the very least.
You know, you do, it's a good point, because like I said, I mean, he's being, any normal person would not get this benefit. You know what I mean? We wouldn't even be talking about the benefit. You or I, we're going to jail. That's it, period. End of story. We're probably still in jail. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I'm kind of inclined to agree with you here. That they are he will be found guilty. I think, you know, there's a lot there, and I think that trial, I think he's going to be some time out of this, man.
And Eric, let's put this together. Let's just put this together. Let's kind of timeline this a little bit. So the judge for the hit-and-run case heard the testimony from the woman who had the gallbladder surgery, and it moved her, and she said, no, there's no plea. And then after that, the domestic violence thing comes out, right?
Yeah.
And now the DA for that case isn't that's still open. That case has not been closed.
I thought, right? It had been closed. Yeah.
No, it has not been closed.
Okay.
Still open, right? They're still investigating it. There's no formal charges, but it's still open and it's being investigated, right?
But legally, they can't really take that into consideration if the case is closed. Once the case is closed, because she's not going to cooperate with them.
But once again, as I said before, a lot of times the court and the police are prepared for this because, as I said, 80% of the victims do recant. So they're going to look at as much evidence as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's going to amount to anything. But what I'm trying to do here is kind of tie it all together. So the judge from the other case, obviously that has nothing to do with this. But she's saying to herself, this guy is just a menace to society because there's like a pattern of behavior here that just doesn't stop. And people look at it, they compare this to the John Jones situation. And I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. John Jones pled guilty. He apologized. He came out with a statement, and he apologized. Tank Davis, even though paid settlements out to three of the victims in this accident, he pled not guilty to those other 14 charges, right? He pled not guilty, and he never apologized. So that's the difference. This guy has shown no remorse, and that's a problem. When you don't show remorse and you want to plea out of it, which is an admission of guilt, but then after the plea is rejected, then you turn around and say not guilty? This is the slap in the face to the legal system, and the legal system is not going to, you know, take this lightly. They're not going to turn the other way this time, in my opinion. He's going to do time.
Yeah.
And he's going to probably have to report to jail very, very, very shortly after the sentence goes down. Why should this guy be, you know, keep getting passes? He's a menace. He's a menace. He's not a good person. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. He's not a good human being. He's not. Sorry. He's a good boxer.
Great
not
boxer,
a good human
yeah.
being. Not a good human being, in my opinion.
No, no. You know, he does have, I tell you what, though, having Showtime behind you, having all this stuff behind you, that makes a huge difference, though. It really
does.
Right.
I mean, you could be right. What you're saying
I
is
hope
not
I'm
out
not
of the
right.
realm of
I hope I'm not.
What you're saying is not out of the realm of possibility. It's worth saying. I'm not saying that
if they do a Floyd Mayweather on him and let him fight first.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
But I'll tell you what there's really no difference because he was on criminal charges as well. He wasn't paying anybody off. He wasn't, he just went to jail. And the same thing here. But now there's a precedent for it. You know what I mean? So if I'm his lawyer, if I'm his attorney, man, I'm going in there. We did it for this guy. Why can't we do it for this guy? You claim he brought in money. He's bringing in money. He's, you know.
Yeah.
But the other difference is Floyd fought in Nevada. That's where he lived. All right, yeah. So he's bringing local money in. You know, I could argue that he's bringing local money in. Davis is going to Nevada to fight this. I would assume that the fight's in Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you can't say, hey, he's Baltimore, he's bringing a bunch of scratches.
He's not Floyd Mayweather either. He's not Floyd Mayweather either. Obviously.
No, Floyd Mayweather at that point was a household name. You know, he had been on, you know, Dancing with the Stars, all that other stuff, you know. When old ladies know who you are because they watch TV, then you're famous, man. That's just it. He's not there yet. So it'll be interesting, man. Let's talk about the buy rate, man. So Gervonta Davis and Hector Luis Garcia, $200,000 to $225,000, according to Boxing Scene. That's a good buy rate. That's a very good buy rate, man. Tank is a draw. If Tank can do this with Hector Garcia, right, because nobody's tuning in to see Hector Garcia. I mean, Hector Garcia, nobody knew who this guy was. I mean, we knew who he was. We knew his last fight. But I wasn't paying for that fight. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not tuning in to watch that fight because I know it's going to be a mismatch. He's, you know, is David Tank Davis is like the A side against any with any fight now. Even with Brian Garcia, he's got to be an A side.
I would 200, say so, man.
200, 225,000 pay-per-view buys. That's not listen, man. That's not nonsense. Zeta Ender says it's fake news. Hey, well, hey, show me the reports, son. Show me the reports where it says, you know, that's all he got. First reported at 60,000 buys. Again, show me the – listen, I got legitimate sources that are telling that are saying this.
Yeah,
I've actually seen it as a legitimate source, son. It is.
Again, and I'm gonna say it. If you guys believe anything that comes out of Rick Glacier's mouth, then I don't know what to tell you, man. I feel sorry for you.
What's the matter with you?
I feel sorry for you. Listen to Rick Glacier's logic. I know a lawyer that is involved with the sponsorship. Once again, D-Style and myself, we did a video on this, right? And Tanks has been doing 200,000 pay-per-view buys for cards. So that's his sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
Now, people want to argue, well, that's not even a good number. But once again, what are you comparing it to? If you're comparing it to Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez, yeah, okay, then maybe it's not that. But that doesn't mean it's not good. It's not successful. If the guy is being guaranteed $1.5 million and his opponent's being guaranteed $300,000 and the pay-per-view is generating $20 million, then it's a win for everybody around. Like, let's stop it. And here's the problem. Because it's working, it's going to be done, and it's not going to stop being done, right? So pay-per-view is never going away, right? It's not going away. And they're going to continue to do that, and we're going to continue to complain about it, but 200,000 people are going to continue to buy that. But so it is what it is. Anyone that thinks that fight sold 61,000 pay-per-view buys and they're believing that someone could get that information in 2 days, there's 444 cable companies in the United States alone, notwithstanding digital platforms as well as satellite companies. And now people have so many ways to order fights. To collect all that data, it takes weeks, right? And even then, they can still do projections. So for anyone to sit there and say a lawyer that knows someone who does this, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, guys. Oh, well, Boxing Scene is owned by CBS, who owns Showtime. Again, CBS is a publicly traded company.
They can't lie about that stuff.
It's illegal. They cannot lie about any information that is attached to anything financial.
Yeah.
They can't do it because they're being publicly traded. The trouble they could get in for doing that, and why would they do that anyways? CBS is gigantic, right? Why would they lie about something that, again, $20 million is nothing to sneeze at, but this is a multi-billion dollar company, so why would they have to lie about something like this?
Stop.
Rick Glacier is a clout chaser, right? He's a liar. He's a liar.
That's harsh, babe. Come on.
He's a liar.
That's harsh.
All right? And follow the breadcrumbs. He does this only with PBC events because he hates PBC. Never releases numbers for any other promotional company's pay-per-views. Right? So, again, these journalists, unless you get it from a press release coming from the distributor of the event, then don't believe it.
That's
you
want to
believe
line.
It, then do it at your own peril because it's just not true.
That is the bottom line.
Not true.
It is. B2BK says Beeb dislikes Tank Davis. How about you call the Rise podcast and speak your piece, Beeb. Piece is spelled wrong, but that's okay. That's okay. Number one, Beeb, I am the king of Baltimore, no?
You are.
I am the king
Correct.
Of Baltimore. Because I own every Baltimore caller that calls in here. I don't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember authorizing a Rise podcast from Baltimore. That means I get a cut of every podcast that goes on in Baltimore.
It's a good podcast. Shout out to the Rise. You do get a percentage.
I do get a percentage, right? Am I wrong?
Correct.
There you go. All right. Rise podcast, baby. Tune in. They love Tank Davis over there. Love it. Let's see here. Go ahead.
This gentleman over here, they're not supposed to lie. Doesn't mean they can't. They can't.
They can't.
It's just that they can't,
they can't lie.
We can't
publicly traded company.
We
can't do that.
We have to deal in reality here. They cannot lie about financial information. They can't do it.
Yeah. Little Hoso cannot lie. They can't do it. They're like George Washington. They cannot tell a lie. That's illegal. All right. Let's talk about this. Beeb, you're not confident about Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis.
Not happening.
I get it. However, I got another one for you. Okay. Stephen Fulton versus Naoa Inoue have agreed for terms for a unified 122-pound title fight in the spring in Japan. This is coming from ESPN, Beeb.
Who released it? Coppinger?
Well, he's the only one at ESPN, yeah.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
How dare you?
That fight's dead, too. Fulton's going up the featherweight.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's just going to duck out on him? Oh, that's
cold. It's PBC,
Stephen
brother.
But you know what? Okay, look. Here's my thing. All right? So you have PBC, and I understand Errol Spence and all that. Stephen Fulton's not that big of a star. He's not that big of a star. And you talk about the money he's going to make in Japan, the money PBC is going to make in Japan. They can't have that fight here. Nobody's showing up for Stephen Fulton. Japan, he is the money man over in Japan. This fight, I'm going to tell you right now, this fight gets made. Period. End of story.
I hope you're right. But
yeah.
I just don't trust Al Haymon, man.
Oh.
He has a way of convincing these guys to not take these fights.
Al Haymon's from Ohio.
I'm going to say something that's going to get you very angry because I know you don't like this person. There's only one person in that PBC stable that actually fought everybody. And by far and away, this man may not have won all the fights, but this man had the best resume over at PBC. And guess who that person is? You don't like this guy, but I'm going to say.
AB, son. Adrian Broner has fought the cream of the crop. From the top to the bottom, daddy.
No.
That's who he fought. No. Everybody.
Sean Porter.
Sean Porter. Another Ohio native. But he's a transplant. He's not really from here. We don't take credit.
That's why you don't like him. That's why you don't like him, because he left.
He left. He's out. We don't even – he could cheer for the Raiders.
What about LeBron James?
What
about LeBron James?
He could cheer for the Raiders as far as I'm concerned. Listen, LeBron James is one of us through and through. Why? Okay, LeBron James won a title here with Cleveland, all right? He did his part. He can go wherever he wants now. But not only that, he built schools. He took care of Cleveland.
Wow.
As far as I'm concerned,
okay.
LeBron James
okay.
can't do any wrong. And you know what?
Okay.
The way he handled the Miami situation, I agree with it. All right, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. I agree with it. He can do whatever he wants now.
Made a strong argument for LeBron James.
Hank Lundy has stepped in. Apparently, Ivan Redcatch. I didn't keep up with the whole drama. I know Ivan Redcatch is out. What happened with that? I don't know if it was like his doing. Whatever.
It has some. It appears to be some type of issue with Joe DiGuardia. I don't.
Details
of it.
Yeah, I heard something about that. That's what it was. And then Hank Lundy apparently was supposed to fight on, I guess, the 3rd or something like that, or on April 3rd or something of that effect. Anyway, so here it is. Hank Lundy stepped in to fight Ivan Redcatch or to fight Adrian Broner. That fight's being promoted now. Hank Lundy was actually suspended by the California State Athletic Commission. Lundy is scheduled to fight Adrian Broner. The Broner fight will take place in Atlanta, not California. Okay, so try to follow this. This gets a little twist and windy here. Boxing Scene indicated that there may be an issue because he's suspended in California. The announcement made earlier this week by BLK Prime came as Philadelphia's Lundy was scheduled to face unbeaten Ernesto Mercado on February 4th in the Phoenix Theater in Ontario, California. The bout agreement is in place for now, finding enough for the California State Athletic Commission to place the 39-year-old veteran Hank Lundy under indefinite suspension, which could affect his ability to fight in any other state under the Association of Boxing Commission's jurisdictions. This is a tough one. So he now has a big problem here. Now, Somebody in our chat said that fight has been canceled. I can't find any confirmation that the fight has been canceled. Okay? But I'll tell you what, this could be one of those things. You know, because it's California. He's got a bout agreement. If you've got a bout agreement in hand, you can't just go and fight somewhere else. It doesn't work that way because you have a signed contract. Your name is on that dotted line to fight February 4th. You cannot fight somewhere else without, you know, breaking that contract or having that contract dissolved. You know what I mean? You can't do it. So this is a tough one. This fight may very well be canceled, but that promoter, whoever the promoter is, and I think Lundy said it in his he wrote out a, I don't know, it was something red promotion. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to.
It's great.
If they don't let him out of that fight, he's in breach of contract. He can't fight anywhere else. So will they
He was saying that the fight's not happening, and he's like thankful that the fight's not happening. This is his words. I don't know. Again, I don't know the legalities behind any of this, but we're quoting him. He basically said that if he were to fight, that he wasn't going to get paid because the promoter of the event is known for not paying their fighters, and he insulted them. So
yeah, I don't know. Apparently, they have a lot of lawsuits pending against them, according to Lundy.
Yeah. So I can't speak factually about anything. I'm just going by what was said. I don't know what's going to happen, how this is going to play out. And again, there's been no new opponent announced for Adrian Broner. So we don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Thank you, Larry. Listen, Ray Rodas is Lundy's promoter. And he's also had, he mentioned just like we did, he also has problems with his promoter. Data Andrews said, my boy Lundy is going to give Broner problems. You know, I tell you, this was a good fight back when both of these guys were in their prime. This was a solid fight, man, because Lundy has the style that bothers Adrian Broner. Lundy crowds you. He throws a lot of punches. He likes to get in tight. He's a great fighter. But I think Lundy is a little bit past his prime, right?
You would have to argue that both of them are past their prime, but Lundy is probably further past.
More so, yeah. However, I will say this. Lundy has been more active than Broner. He hasn't been winning, but he's been more active, and I think that does say something. It's not a gimme fight. I'll tell you that. It is not a gimme fight. So there you go. Jose Garcia says, I say Sandor Martin beats Tank at 140. He will run like Floyd to victory. I don't know. Tell you a fight that's happening. David Benavidez versus Caleb Plant, set for March 25th. It's official, Beeb. It is a Showtime pay-per-view. I might have to buy that one. I might have to.
Yeah,
I think that's worth it.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to throw a crazy question at you.
Yes.
Could that fight do above 300,000 pay-per-view buys?
No.
Does it do at least 200?
I think so. I think it does. Yeah. Especially with David Benavidez, you know, Mexicans can draw.
Yeah.
They draw a lot, man. And anytime you have a Mexican fighter fighting, and David Benavidez is a pretty well-known Mexican fighter.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I
think a lot of Mexicans love David Benavidez because of the way he fights, man.
Correct.
I think he could do 2 to 250. Yeah, absolutely. I don't see it going in that 3 range, but 250, yeah, I think so. I think that's
okay.
Cool. I think that's definitely.
I think that's going to be a big fight.
But yeah. I think it's going to be good, man. I still like Benavidez, and I like him big in this. But
yeah,
it's not. It's not a crazy, you know. I would be shocked if Caleb Plant won, but I give him a chance. He's a live dog for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you guys are out there, hit the like button. If you guys are listening to this or watching this, make sure to hit the like button, man. Just show us some love here. Got a lot of people watching. I don't have that many likes, man. Come on, let's get the likes up, man. So hit that button. I'm not asking you to work in a coal mine. Just hit a button. It's real easy. This, Beeb, I'll tell you what. This kind of surprised me, and it kind of didn't. Edgar Berlanga leaves Top Rank. I thought they'd done a good job with Berlanga. I definitely think that Berlanga has a ceiling, though. After watching his fights, watching him fight, I think Top Rank did a good job. But I think that... I think the Top Rank knew that there's a ceiling on this kid. because they wouldn't have just let him go. You know what I mean? So his manager, Keith Connolly, has fighters in DAZN. He's got fighters in PBC as well. You know, listen, man, everybody thought Berlanga, he had that knockout streak going and stuff like that. And I think that actually hindered him more than it helped him. I really do, because now when, you know, he bit that guy, remember he bit that guy in that one fight and everything like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
he didn't look good.
He hasn't looked good in a while. Once they stepped up his competition, he hasn't looked good in a while. B, what do you make of this?
One thing I can say about Bob, and I've had conversations with him about specific fighters.
Friend of the show.
And he had, that Cuban light heavyweight, the guy that beat Alito Alvarez, he had him under contract.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the contract a little bit, and I said, well, so if Alito Alvarez loses, does the contract change? He said, of course it changes, right? So what I'm guessing is they looked at Berlanga, and they know they probably reassessed their opinion on him in terms of how much potential he has, and he didn't live up to their potential, so they probably maybe adjusted the numbers if they were going to move forward with him, and he probably didn't like those numbers and he moved on. So I guess what I'm trying to say, you know, to make a long story short, is if you don't perform over at Top Rank, they're not going to just pay you just to pay. And maybe they felt that he wasn't performing, you know, up to the expectations that they felt he should have been. And a lot of us don't think he lived up to his expectations, right? So maybe they just decided, hey, man, we'll move on from this guy. He's not what we thought he was going to be.
We'll
see what happens.
Listen, man, if you and I could sit here and see it, they see it.
If they
see this kid, you know, we're both looking at this kid like, you know, we want to see him face some competition. I want to see him grow a little bit. And as soon as he encountered any kind of resistance, it was over for him.
Yeah, he didn't look.
You know, he did not look like a good fighter. I mean, and that's why I said, you know, we would watch him in these knockouts, and we would see skill gaps. You know what I mean? We watched skill gaps in here. It's tough because he's excited. He's going for the knockout. I get it. But again, once he slowed down and then started to box, those skill gaps become bigger and bigger. It doesn't, you know, I was surprised that he left. It sounded like he kind of did the breaking up there.
Well, once again, like he probably wanted something that they couldn't give him. And they're not going to, like I said, it's not a charity, foundation over there. If you don't perform, you don't get paid. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That simple.
You know, where does he go from here? Does he go to Top Rank? Or not Top Rank, but does he go to PBC or DAZN?
Yeah, he'll get lost in the shuffle over at PBC. Would Eddie Hearn pick him up?
Yeah. Then you put him against
a fighter. I don't know where he goes.
I think PBC is probably the best move for him, money-wise, probably PBC. He'll get better fights there. I think he'll get good fights there, but it'll be tough, man. It'll be tough for him. Anywhere he goes is going to be tough for him.
I don't know, man. That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's a great question. I don't know what's going to happen with this dude.
Josh Taylor has been injured. His fight with Jack Catterall will be delayed. Taylor suffered a plantar fascia tear on his foot. Steve, that's got to hurt, but it's got to hurt worse that he has waited for this fight. He has given up titles for this fight. He wants this fight. There is something in his mind, he lost that last fight. In his
you
mind,
think
he lost the last
you
fight.
Think he believes that?
I really do. I really think. You can't.
You actually had him winning.
I had him winning fairly comfortably, too. But I will tell you this. You're not going to go give up all this stuff, wait and get this guy to fight you. That doesn't really mean anything. This fight doesn't really. He could go on. He could win this fight and go on to bigger money. You know, he can go on to bigger money fights. But he says, no, I want to fight this guy again. There's something about this guy, the Catterall. There's something about him, okay? I think maybe Catterall's got his number. I think Catterall's in his head. I'm concerned about this rematch a little. Go ahead.
There's two things why he can't walk away from this. Number one, I agree. Catterall is in his head, 100%. Every time he just looks at Catterall, see, like he went at him the other day. They were both at the fight yesterday, and he went at him. He
He just doesn't like, he has a disdain for this guy.
Yeah.
Something about this guy, Catterall, he does not like him at all.
Catterall, I don't think he cares one way or the other. I just think that he's a, you know, he just wants to fight, and whatever it is, it is. But that's number one. So I think that's definitely a determining factor in him not being able to walk away from this fight. Here's number two. We hear all the time from fighters and people alike in any walk of life, oh, I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. That's totally 100% bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's nonsense, because people do care what other people think, right? And there's a large group of people, particularly in the UK, that believe, right, he lost that fight. And they go as far as saying that that was the robbery of the year. I disagree. I had Catterall winning by the slimmest of margins. I don't have a problem with him getting that decision there. I don't have a problem with him getting the decision, Taylor. That doesn't bother me one bit. It was a close fight. Could have gone either way, in my opinion. But over in the UK, you got guys like Adam Smith, who works for Sky, saying that was one of the worst decisions he's ever seen. And it's being plastered everywhere over there, right?
It was, you know, listen, man, the fight was close. I didn't think it was that close. I thought that Taylor won fairly comfortably. That was not a robbery. That was not a, you know, but listen, that's what's being pasted everywhere he goes, everywhere he looks, everybody he talks to.
Yeah.
Well, that, and it's in his head.
He can't walk away from that.
Do you think he wins a rematch?
I was going back and forth with it. Shout out to Ring IQ, because he was making some good points. He almost talked me into it, but nah, I think Catterall wins. I don't like the fact how badly he struggles to make 140. And he's a big guy, a tall, big guy, right?
Yeah.
Now, if the chess pieces at 147 move around, and a lot of those guys go up to 154, like if Spence and Crawford go up to 154, do I think Taylor could beat guys like Boots, and do I think that he could beat some of those guys up at 147? You know, Virgil Ortiz? No, I do not.
Yeah.
So I think he's damned if he do, damned if he don't, right, in this situation, because I think he's going to have a lot of problems at 147. But once again, is it better for him to go up to 147 and be comfortable from a weight perspective, but be at a skill gap disadvantage with some of these guys? Or is it better for him to kill himself to make 140, where the skill discrepancy is not as different, and you could argue that he still may be the best fighter at 140. I think Pro Graves would beat him in a rematch, but again, that's just my opinion. So that's the dilemma you have. Do I go up to 147 and be comfortable from a weight perspective, but be at a disadvantage with the level of talent up there, or do I stay at 140 and kind of grind it out trying to make weight, and these guys aren't as dangerous in terms of skill and punching power? So that's the dilemma you have with him. But eventually, he's going to have to go to 147, because it's just not going to be humanly possible for him to make 140. So this whole thing of going back down to 140 one more time, going to the well one more time, we thought that he went to the well one more time too much in the last fight, but now he's going back to that same well. How is anything going to be different? I don't know.
You know, Aaron Daly brought up a really good point about Josh Taylor. He says that he doesn't think that fight's going to happen because Taylor's body's breaking down trying to make 140. That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
But now he goes up to 147. I think he can compete for a title. But could he beat the cream of the crop up there? Could he beat Boots Ennis? No. Could he beat Errol Spence? No. Could he beat Terrence Crawford? No. That being said, those are all big fights, with the exception of the Ennis fight. Ennis needs a big fight.
Boots needs a
Keith Thurman. He needs a Danny Garcia. He needs somebody.
He needs somebody.
And right. Nobody wants to fight that guy.
Nobody wants to fight him, no.
It's, I mean, yeah, he doesn't want to fight that guy, man.
Same thing with Regis Prograis. Like, at 140, no one wants to go near this guy with a 10-foot pole, man.
Regis is doing himself the biggest disservice he can by his management. His management, his promoter, his lack thereof, he's toiling around out there. He's twisting in the wind. He's got to get it together, go to one of the big three, stay away from Golden Boy. Go to one of the other, you know, the Zone. Go to PBC or Top Rank.
Why not go to Top Rank?
Why not?
Why not go to Top Rank?
Right?
That's mind-boggling to me.
Prograis is, you know, he's wasting his time right now. He's not getting any big fight. He needs a big fight. He needs a big name because that guy is a star.
Yeah.
Again, it's what I've always said about Hank Lundy. Hank Lundy, with the right management, could have been a star because when you talk to that guy, I mean, he's just got the gift of gab. He's the greatest, you know, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's
funny. Know, he's perfect, you know. That's a personality right there. Prograis is the same way, and he can fight. I don't understand it, man. I just don't get it. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury is now official. The fight's scheduled for February 25th. Does anybody care about this? I don't really care. Yeah, I don't really care less.
Not really.
Let's go to the phones here. 410 Baltimore.
That's
410, you're live.
Hello?
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah.
What's up, Jerry?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
Who released the numbers for the Mayweather or the Tank fight?
I got those from Boxing Scene. Boxing Scene said they confirmed it.
It kind of reads like a Showtime press release, basically.
Yeah.
But it was Boxing Scene.
Yeah.
I don't trust the pay-per-view numbers. I'm in that group. I know when Tank fought Isaac Pitbull Cruz, they wouldn't release the numbers. They said that it was rumored that it was right around 60,000, and they wouldn't release the numbers. And they said at that time that they don't release numbers. Showtime, if they come out with an official statement regarding the numbers, I tend to believe that. Boxing Scene, no, sorry. If the fight did 200,000 pay-per-views and the purses are what was reported, at least in my view, that's not a win-win. That's the fighters getting jobbed. And these promoters, especially PBC, they have to be made to understand that if you want fans to pay $80 for a pay-per-view, it has to be a marquee matchup. They're just getting ridiculous over there at PBC. And Garcia, he's a good fighter, but he was moving up, not much punch power. You know, I mean, I like Tank Davis, and I've always supported boxing. I don't try to stream fights and stuff, but I just, you know, enough with the pay-per-views where basically they want you to pay every time a fighter you like fights, regardless of the opponent. And that's not a win for fans, in my estimation. And, you know, regarding...
Here's the deal, though. We talk about numbers. I mean, either we're going to believe it or we're not going to believe it. If I read it on Twitter, I don't know if I necessarily believe it. But if I read it from a credible source, Dan Raphael, to me, is a credible source. Boxing Scene is a credible source. We can say, okay. Well, I don't believe any of the media.
I don't usually believe.
And at that point, you're just making up facts then, correct?
I didn't make up a number. What I'm saying is I don't believe Rick Glaser. I don't believe Boxing Scene. Steven Espinoza and Showtime makes an official statement that I would believe. But I don't believe websites and boxing
writers. Well, Espinoza
did
make an official statement.
What's that?
Espinoza did make an official statement. Yeah,
well,
he
what'd
said
he say?
when those numbers were released at 61,000, he said that we did multiple times that. That's what he said.
But he didn't. Okay, but he didn't put a number.
Yeah. Here's my thing, Jerry, and you know, I'm just going to break it down. Now, these guys are in the business to make money, right? And again, I am not co-signing on what they're doing, but I understand what they're doing, and I know why they're doing it, and they're going to keep doing it because of this. If the total payout for the fighters is $1.8 million, then you look at the undercard. The undercard's probably if you look at all the fighters on the undercard, that's probably another $500,000 there, right? So you got $2.3 million, right? If you're generating $20 million on an event, and you're only having to pay out $2.3 million, and, you know, you give your percentage to the cable companies, which is 40%. You give Showtime the 10% they're getting. Everyone's winning here, Jerry, except for us, probably the fans. And that's what I'm trying to say is these guys aren't dumb. You know, they know what they're doing. And Showtime actually saves money here by putting it on pay-per-view because it saves them in production costs. They don't have to pay the rights fee for the fight, and they spend less on the production. So from a monetary standpoint, everybody's winning here. And if Showtime is giving Boxing Scene, which is owned by CBS, and CBS owns that website, and they're putting up those numbers. Once again, and I say this and I stand on this and I believe, it's really irrefutable. If you're a publicly traded company and you're releasing information that's tied to financial information as well, you can't lie. You can't lie. It's a federal crime. That's why I have no problem believing Boxing Scene's article. Right. And it's pretty much a press release anyway. Now again, I mean, people can believe what they want to believe, but just take into account what I'm saying here. You know, they're owned by CBS, which is a publicly traded company. They can't lie when it comes to financial information.
And let me just jump in here too. Let me just jump in here and kind of piggyback off of that. So you have CBS, Showtime, and Paramount. They're all kind of owned, you know what I mean? They're all looking to own. They're all the same type of company. They're all the same company, basically. They're all under the CBS banner. So as little – Beeb, how much would you say percentage-wise boxing is with those companies as far as the numbers of money boxing brings in for those companies? It's got to be minuscule, right?
Probably less than 1%. They're making billions of dollars.
Right. Paramount. Yeah, Paramount Plus,
Paramount
everything.
It's
huge,
it's,
right?
It's off the charts with AJ.
Why would you, as a publicly traded company, fudge these numbers and get yourself in trouble? For less than a 1% share of what you do, the money is not in boxing here.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Jerry, $20 million to them is a drop in the bucket, bro.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
Well, then, if all that's true, then why didn't Stephen Espinoza put the number? Why would he leave it to a website? Why didn't he just say?
He said multiple times.
No, that's not a number,
yeah,
though.
That's
a gray area. That's saying, you know, multiple times means something. Who knows what it means? Here's what it is for me. When I hear it from Showtime, that's when I'll lend some credence to it. Otherwise, I'm not, because I've been down this road before with pay-per-views, multiple sources reporting.
You're the type of guy who like reads the newspaper and doesn't believe a word what's in the newspaper.
No, I'm the type of guy that believes what comes from the horse's mouth. I believe what comes from the horse's mouth. I don't believe what the promoters say. I don't believe what websites say. That's all. And that's all I got to say about that. I do want to talk a little bit about the fight last night. That was an upset. Eubank, I had higher hopes for Eubank. I thought he was a better fighter. I don't like to use the word exposed when a fighter takes a loss, because more times than not, it's just they took a loss. But I kind of feel like he got exposed a little bit last night. And looking at his body, he's a well-conditioned fighter. I think he probably had problems making that weight. I really do. And his career, you talk about a guy that's had bad management. I mean, this guy's had bad management, lots of fights falling through, and just seems to have bad luck and long periods of inactivity. And I was happy for Smith last night. That was a good comeback win for him to get that win in that fashion. Also, regarding Catterall and Josh Taylor, I thought Catterall won that fight. I had him winning by like 4 points. I thought Josh Taylor would. I hadn't even heard of Catterall. When I tuned in to watch it, I thought, you know, Josh was, he was on a roll, and I just felt like he was going to walk over that guy. But, man, and what I heard Josh Taylor say, and I do believe him, is the reason he wants the rematch is because his own countrymen were telling him that he lost. And all he was hearing about was Catterall. He just, you know, when he went back home, it was Catterall this and Catterall that. And so he really wants to fight him again.
That's true.
Yeah, to get redemption. And so I like that from him. But some unfortunate things occurring in boxing. You got the Jamal Zoo fight, Charlo and Zoo. That looks like it's off the table. Now the Scatterall Taylor fight is off the table. Who else? Ortiz was supposed to fight Stanioses. Looks like that fight's off the table. Before we even get going in the new year, some of the biggest fights. And I'm like you guys in a sense that I got very little faith that this Garcia-Davis fight comes off either.
Yeah, I think that fight's dead in the water, to be honest with you.
Well, didn't Steven Espinosa, didn't he say in that interview, he says, you know, that no contract, because they were talking about De La Hoya signing a contract, the contract that they signed isn't really you know what I mean?
It was a term sheet, and he's lying saying it was a contract.
Because no contract is going to come out, like Steven Espinosa, no contract is coming out until after that trial.
Well, according to fighters who fought over there, Ishae Smith was one of them. He says oftentimes they don't sign the contract to the day of the fight.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And then Espinosa confirmed that as well in one of the interviews he did. So,
which was shocking to me, but he said that Gervonta Davis fight just recently, that didn't get signed until like a day or two before.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
People
good news.
like to hang on these things called agreed to terms. And again, that's just someone reading a term sheet and saying, yeah, this looks good, that looks good, whatever. And it's very vague because we could agree to three terms, but there's maybe 20 terms in that contract. So the way things are worded and manipulated just so people can get excited and get attention brought upon themselves and websites can get clicks and fighters can clout chase.
It's not official until they announce it.
Until a contract is signed and there's press conferences scheduled and the date and venue are set. And again, if this is going to be done for April 15th, like at least with the Fury-Usyk thing, they have a date. They also have people bidding for the fight.
Yeah.
There's actually movement going on there. The likelihood of that fight happening, in my opinion, is very, very, very light. It's very positive. But this whole thing with Jake Davis, it's in Vegas.
Let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Now, there's a lot of people don't know, myself included, about fight contracts. I mean, let's face it, we know boxing is corrupt and things happen, and a lot of times the fans don't know. But it for me, just from a pure business perspective, it would be hard for me to imagine that contract of officially binding both fighters legally committing to a fight. You got to think that prior to a fight, all kind of money gets spent on advertisement and training costs and things like that. It doesn't seem like investors, promoters who would be investing this money, would put that money out without that final binding agreement that says, yes, you're definitely going to be there. I'm not saying Espinosa's not telling the truth there, but I think he may be cherry-picking a few incidences where that has happened that way and trying to act like it's the norm. Because like he also said in that interview that fighters fight a lot of times with no guaranteed purse. That's not what I believe. That's not what I believe at all. And lastly, when it comes to Bud Crawford, imagine this, and everybody's kind of taking their side on that situation between Bud and Spence. But imagine you're one half of the most highly anticipated welterweight fight since Manny Pack and Mayweather. And the promoter tells you there's no guaranteed purse. You have to rely entirely on the back end. In this day and age of boxing, where boxing's very unpopular and people are streaming fights, it looks like at almost a 50% clip, and they tell you that you're going to get – at that point, you think they would have said at least a 50-50 deal if it's all back end on the net profit, but they tell them 35% of the net of the back end. Bud Crawford should have walked right then and there. Imagine if he was still represented by Bob Arum and the people at PBC told Bob Arum that deal. He would have laughed in their face. So I don't blame Spence because Spence isn't the one making that deal, but I damn sure don't blame Crawford for moving on from that. That was a sucker deal if ever there was one. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right, Jerry, we're going to bounce, man. Thank you so much for the call. I don't understand. So why does he believe that and not believe – why does he pick and choose like that? I mean, like, he believes what the contract is, but there was no – you know what I mean? You didn't see the contract. Pugilism – let me run this here. Pugilism says – he says everybody wants the truth but doesn't want to accept the truth. And he's 100% right. Go ahead.
Here's the problem, Eric. A lot of people are acting off of emotion. And, here's why. Everyone is upset that these fights are for are pay-per-views, right?
Yeah.
And they're upset that they're being asked to pay $75 to watch Tank fight somebody like Hector Garcia. So their opinion is based off of emotion. He just pulled on himself during that phone call. What did he say? I don't think that we should have to pay for these fights, this, that, and the third, how bad this is for boxing, blah, 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 blah. So he's already biased against having to pay for this fight. So he's going to want the thing to fail because he's mad at it.
Right.
Right? He's mad at the fact he has to buy it. So most of these people, they're going to pick and choose what they believe based off of their feelings. I don't like paying for it, but again, I cannot take logic away from this discussion and just ignore it, right?
Right.
I can't lie, and I know that a company like CBS, I know a company, boxing scene, first of all, in my opinion, from a historical standpoint, is probably the most reputable source of information out of anyone in boxing.
Right.
I don't think it even comes close.
No, I don't think
right?
so either.
They have zero agenda, right? And they are affiliated with CBS. But once again, if they're publicly traded, CBS is publicly traded, they cannot lie. I'm sorry. I am going to believe Boxing Scene before I believe Rick Glacier. I just am.
For sure.
I just am. And just because I'm not going to root for the pay-per-view to fail, right, just because I don't like the fight. If you don't like the fight, don't buy it.
Don't watch
it. You know, most of you guys stream the fight anyways. So what do you care? Oh, again, whatever you're doing to boycott or make this, I'm going to make a stand, I'm not going to buy it, doesn't matter.
Right.
Because someone will buy it, they're going to continue to do it, and you're going to continue to complain about it, and you're going to continue to pick and choose what you believe based off your personal feelings just because you don't like the fight, and you don't like the fighters involved, and you don't like the PBC. And I don't like Tank Davis. I don't like him. I think he's a bad person, right? But I'm not going to lie and say he's a bad fighter because I don't like him. I'm not going to lie and say he's not financially a successful fighter. I'm not going to say he's not popular within a certain fan base. I'm not going to say that he can't generate 200,000 pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that they're losing money. I can't lie about things that are just not true,
right?
Because I don't like somebody.
Right.
Because I'm mad about not. Because I don't want to pay $75 for a fight. I don't like fucking paying what I'm paying for gas, right? But am I going to say that fucking gas company is extorting money from me, or you know, they're a criminal operation, or this is a friggin' backdoor deal that's going on? I mean, I'm not going to lie about things just because I'm not happy with a situation. So you gotta be men about it. We gotta be men and stop fucking formulating opinions based off of fucking emotion.
Right. That's where Jerry drives me nuts. Is he comes in and he'll disregard every fact we have, you know, all of our sources, everything like that. But then he'll interject something that means absolutely nothing. Like, where are your sources coming from? Your head. That's it. You know what I mean? Either you're gonna believe the facts or you're not gonna believe the facts. And when we report something, we report off a credible stuff. Boxing Scene is credible. ESPN is credible. That's just the way it is. Like it or don't,
Again, but the Boxing Scene article doesn't cite a source or mention Showtime as a source. I can see the cause of doubt. It doesn't – it's a press release. It's basically a press – it's not an article that someone had to editorialize.
Yeah.
They're reporting information.
It read an awful lot like a press release, I'll tell you that.
It's a press release they copied and pasted. Once again, I worked for a website before. I had my own website, ropeadoperadio.com. I used to get press releases emailed to me all the time. I used to edit press release. I used to edit articles for Ness when I was over at the Boxing Voice, and I would get articles, press releases all the time. And what did I put there? Rope-a-dope radio staff, theboxingvoice.com staff, because none of the writers had to write that article. It's a fucking press release. You guys are just, it's frustrating. It really is frustrating that you're just making, you're formulating all of these ridiculous things that just don't make sense.
Let me tell you what I like about Beeb. Beeb is the king of conspiracy theories. He loves conspiracy theories.
I do.
But when Beeb gives me a conspiracy theory, I always call him an idiot, okay? But then he brings legit facts to try to support his argument. Now, sometimes they're great. Sometimes we can produce more facts against the argument. But we can have a legitimate debate about it. I can't have a legitimate debate with somebody who just calls in and says, well, that's not factual. This is factual. And it doesn't have a source. Can't do it.
I explain. I explain everything by piece.
Yes.
I do research, and I'm going to come out and just say this. A lot of you motherfuckers out there are lazy bastards that just fucking have your favorite person that you want to believe, and you hate the other guy. So whatever the other guy says, he's always going to be wrong. He can tell you the fucking sky is blue. You're never going to believe him because you don't like him.
Yep.
I don't like Tate Davis. He is not a good person in my opinion, but I do believe he's popular enough to sell 200,000 pay-per-view buys. I can. Yeah. He generated a $5 million gate, okay?
His fights are always packed. Him, Ryan Garcia, and Canelo Alvarez. Really the only ones that pack arenas anymore. It just is.
Jerry, if the article was actually written by an author, you stupid, dumb fuck, why wouldn't the author put his name on it? You dumb fucking idiot who never worked for a website in your life. You've never written an article for a website in your life, right? You have no knowledge of anything. You're just a person that has a fucking... you have a bone to pick and you don't like something. So all you do is act off of emotion, you dumb fuck. It was a press release. So if someone says to somebody, this is what the fight did, right? Why would a journalist have to editorialize numbers that were given to him? It's a fucking press release, you dumb fuck. You're an idiot. I am mad. You know why?
And
I'll say this, and I'll say it again. There's a point that breaks me every time. That when someone is a level of stupidity that my mind will not allow me to accept, and this is why I go on these rants. When someone reaches a level of stupidity that I cannot fucking accept and register in my brain, then your stupidity was such a high level, right, that my logic meter just exploded, and this is what you have in front of you now because of your stupidity.
And Jerry,
if someone gives you fucking information, if Eric says to me, I get press releases to this day from Bob Krieger, whatever, right? It's not my article. I'm not going to editorialize it. So why would you put a name on it? Why would you put a name on it? I used to do this for a fuck. I was an editor. Call up Ness right now. Ask Nestor Gibbs. I was an editor for his website. I had my own website, ropeadoperadio.com. Ask Chris Carlson. And we would get press releases emailed to us every fucking day.
We
and
get
we
press
never,
releases every day here, you know? I mean,
we,
it's like
we, even now
day.
We get press releases. We're not going to put a fucking someone's name on a press release. There's no need to do that. So you're going to, because you're mad that the fight was on pay-per-view, you are going to muster up every bit of fiber in your being to come up with a reason why everyone's lying that's saying that that this fight did more than 61,000 pay-per-views. Just come out and say you want this fight to have done 61,000
right.
pay-per-view buys because you're mad that it was on pay-per-view. You're mad that you had to pay for it or some people had to pay for it. You're appalled at the fact that they charged $75 for this fight. Don't fucking buy it. But guess what? 200,000 people did.
You got to like that, man. I'll tell you, you know, and that's the thing. I wanted this pay-per-view to fail. I don't. I want every pay-per-view to fail. I don't like pay-per-view. I don't like paying for mediocre fights. It just is. But it didn't. I mean, 200,000, that's nothing to sneeze at. 225, 250,000, that's nothing to sneeze at, man.
Eric, do I like Tank Davis?
No.
Do I like PBC?
No.
I'm kind of in between with Stephen Espinosa. Some days I like him, some days I don't.
I like Stephen Espinosa. He's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show. It's only because of you that some days I like him. But I don't have, like, if there was negative information to put out there that was unflattering, I would be the one to want to do it. I don't like anyone involved. But I know that a publicly traded company cannot lie on it. I trade. I have mutual. I know.
Right.
I deal with this every day. They can't lie. It's illegal. Do you know? So for a company that makes billions of dollars, as we already discussed, Eric, right? They're going to put their reputation and they're going to put their well-being on the line.
On a false number.
For $20 million.
Right.
$20 million to CBS is like $5 to me, to you or I.
Not going to happen. It doesn't work that way.
Not
going to
happen.
It doesn't work that way. And just based off Jerry's comments in the chat, you know he lost.
All these are big. You have nothing to support your argument. This is your argument. They're lying. They're lying, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm explaining piece by piece why they can't lie, right? But you're just saying they're lying because I'm mad because it's $75 and I don't think it's worth it. You know what you sound like? You sound like a little fucking boy. You sound like a little bitch. A little bitch. You sound like a little bitch that's in a fucking playpen, right?
And
you're throwing your toys out of the playpen and you're mad. That's what you sound like.
Stop. Come on.
He's an idiot.
Come on. All right,
he's
enough,
a fucking
Steve.
Dummy.
Enough. I'm stopping it.
He's a dummy.
I'm stopping it. That's it. That's horrible. Come on. What's the matter with you?
He's a fucking dummy.
Get a hold of yourself. What's the matter with you, Steve? All right, guys. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Remember, next week, we will be here at 11 a.m., 11 a.m. Sunday. Again, for UK week. That's how we do it. And as always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week. Go Bengals. Burrow, we're going to the AFC Championship again. And you know what happens once we get to the AFC Championship? Undefeated, baby. 3-0. We're going again, daddy. That's how we do it. All right, guys. Have a good one.